The first reading for today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who mourn. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon text this day is the passage from Romans that Diane's already shared with us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. The topic today, if you will, kind of brings out a thought for me in the idea of some scriptures are harder to follow than others. Some are harder to get behind, in a sense, and to take to heart, to believe, and to accept in our life. But then you get a passage like today, and today's verses are all about love. And we think, wow, love. Okay, so that's not so hard. I mean, people know how to love. We understand love. We share love. We show love. Certainly we're a loving kind of people because we know God's love. We know that we should also love others. And then I think about love on really when we get into that word, if we're going to really take it to heart and have a serious talk about it. And what love was as a grade school student versus what love is as we get to the point when we're more mature in our lives. That's a good enough way of saying that, right? More gray hair, that we have a little different understanding of love. We understand that love involves dealing with pain and grief and loss, and it's a lot more giving than it is receiving, and it's a lot more action in day-to-day living than it is just about saying a few words to get what we want or to make somebody hear what they want to hear. Our love, as it starts off in the scripture passage, says love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And then also share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Those are not so bad for us. I mean, we can get behind the idea of understanding not liking what's evil. Oh yeah, that's not a problem for the most part, really. Clinging to what's good, well, most of the time we do that as well. Honoring others above ourselves, we work on it at least. Never be lacking in zeal and keep our spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Well, you know, this is preaching to the choir. You're here, so you've got more fervor than some. And check your fervor, right? How's your fervor running today? But then also the idea of that patience and affliction, that one's a little tougher at times. Maybe joyful in hope, we can do that. But faithful in prayer, a lot of good prayers here, I know, and maybe some of us could pray a little bit more. But we also practice hospitality, and we share with God's people that are in need. That's what we do. But if these verses didn't show us how much we're faltering in the true love that God wants us to have, then hang on, because everyone's hypocrisy is about to fall in the next few verses. It gets a lot harder, in other words, on thinking that we're actually loving the way we should be loving, because it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Love is starting to get a little harder now. Blessing and not cursing. Blessing those who persecute you. I mean, turning the other cheek is one thing, but going to the next step and actually blessing them, that's a lot harder to consider. Rejoicing with those who rejoice, we do that fairly well. We mourn with those who mourn for the most part too. Live in harmony with one another. Harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Don't associate with people, or do associate with people of a lower position in your concept of whatever that might be. And not to be conceited. Let's see. I'm not so sure about the patience with each other. I'm not so sure about the idea of living in harmony with one another. And where I see that kind of falter is like when I'm driving down Interstate 20. Not a lot of harmony going on out there. Not a lot of blessings going on when there's a person in front of us, two people up in the checkout line at the grocery store on their third price check. Love. Really, Lord? I have to love these people? I have to love that person who just flashed his IQ at me as he drove past me? You know, I'm not so sure about this love after all. I mean, how much are we willing to love? Is our love going to be unconditional? Is our love maybe a little more superficial? We get that kind of love like the young puppy love, where we can say those words, we love, but does it really manifest itself in the right kind of love, this God love that we're told about? Or is it our own invention of what love is and what we think love should be? I think our love is most of the time incomplete at best. We misuse it, we abuse it, we seek to use it to our advantage. There are people who will say the words that they love someone to get what they want from them. Once they get what they want from them, then the words of love also disappear, because they've gotten what they wanted and what they needed, and they feel fulfilled. So loving someone is not the same as saying you love them. And saying you love someone is certainly not enough to believe that true love is actually there. Love has to be sincere. This whole thing started. It's not about you, it's about others. It's not about what you receive, it's about what you give. And that's what we have to keep in mind. Love is about the other person more than it is about us. That's the way God showed it. That's the example that God gave us when he sent Jesus to die for us. While we were still his enemies, Jesus dies on the cross for us and then rises to life again so that he can prove that love is still there. That it didn't just go to the grave. It's still alive for us today. That love of God is still there for you, as much as it was from the day Jesus died. God's love is faithful and just and will never leave you, will never forsake you. And then we end up being a culture, a people that believe that we should receive more than we should give. And we want to be respected and we want to be acknowledged more than we're showing that to someone else. We feel like we're owed something a lot of the time. And then the Spirit's prodding comes to us and helps us to place others before ourselves. And that's where we start to, again, experience what love is. Jesus put you before himself. God put his son after you. He placed you before his own son's life. Is our love that kind of sacrificial love? We're called to that level of love. We're not quite there. The rest of the passage concludes, Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Sometimes we have this concept that love involves revenge because our love was wronged. We gave the love and it wasn't returned to us. And so we'll get back at them. That would not be love in any definition of it. There are these people out here that consider themselves, if you will, the love gurus or love doctors. These folks that have studied love, observed love, watched love, practiced love, read about love, and come up with all kinds of theories of love. And I'll tell you what, maybe they all have something good to say, but they're also all a lot of bunk. Because there's only one person that truly has written what love is about that we can go to that has got it down right. All the others, if anyone really had it right out there, everyone would be after that book. Well, you'd think, but then we, as I said, we do have one that got it right. And not everyone's after that book, and that's the Bible. God is the one who got love right and showed us what real love is. And if we're going to love others, we're going to love in the descriptions that God gives love to us. From this passage, from other passages, like the passage in Corinthians that talks about faith, hope, and love, chapter 13, just beautiful understanding of love being patient and kind and gentle. We're called to love with God's love. And if that's not where the love is originating, then other things come about. There is a good book out there that deals with love languages, if you will, in a sense. It's not saying that this is any of these are the right kind of love. It's saying this is the way it is. And people receive love in different ways. Some people express their love in writing out many, many words. Wonderful words. Fluid words are not so fluid, but they write out those words and they can express their love with their words. And some people express their love in gifts. They give the gifts. And if they don't receive the gifts back from folks, or the person who writes or shares the many words doesn't receive that love in that same way back, then they're not feeling that they're being as loved. Because that's the kind of love language that they speak, what they understand to be love. God just loves us and does so much for us that we don't even understand all the ways that He blesses us continually in our life. And all He asks for us in that return is yes, that love Him back first, but then show His love, and He gives us the example, show His love to the world around us. Be a people who are forgiving. Be a people who are compassionate. Don't repay evil for evil. There's no room for vengeance and love. And if possible, be at peace with everyone. There that shows you our country is not getting it right either. When one half the nation supports something and another half the nation is against something. And it's continuing to occupy the news all the time, whether it's dealing with candidates or dealing with events or places or even history. We show that we're divided and not showing love. That last part, though, of that section, as it gets into it in verse 20, has something unique in there, and particularly with regard to that love. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. I know folks that have gone with the idea of that heaping burning coals on their head with the idea like the firefighters at an oil fire. The way they fight an oil fire is with fire. That's where we get the term fight fire with fire, is one of the places where that originated, along with the ideas of burning out areas so that fires can't jump. We actually use what's there and make it even worse, in a sense, so it'll get better. They would hold over a crate of TNT or a barrel full of TNT over the flames that are jetting out of where oil is coming out, these firefighters. And when that explodes with a great gust of wind that it creates and the pressure it creates, it blows the fire out so that the oil is flowing freely again. There's a great John Wayne movie from years ago that had some of that depicted in it. You can go watch it on YouTube or wherever. But, the fact is that that's not what this is talking about, though. We're not trying to make something worse to get it to go better when we're heaping burning coals on their heads. Keep it in context of the way it's described here and the other ways the coal is mentioned in Scripture. And we're bestowing kindness on our enemy. Instead of fighting fire with fire, we're fighting fire with love. And the more that person is against us, the more we're called to have to love them. Being kind to those who persecute you, gentle to those who would hate you, instead of rebuking those who are against you, showing them even more love. Because this heaping burning coals is kind of like how you get a fire going. You stir it up the next day in your fireplace or at a campfire. You stir around, you still have some coals in there. So you get some of those coals underneath what you're wanting to start the fire with. You may have put some of those coals on top of what you're trying to start the fire on, and you get that fire going all over again. You're rekindling the flame. And what that heaping burning coals is calling us to do is to rekindle in these people that have lost their way God's love, to get them back on the right track, to get them back in understanding what love is about. And it's not in being angry, it's not in seeking revenge, it's not in getting even, it's not in who can yell the loudest. But we're going to love them all the more so that they might grasp again the importance of this love that God has for them. Our actions do speak louder than our words when it comes to love. Our words are quick to be spoken at times. But where the heart is and the life is, that's where the love is proven. Jesus could have come to this world and he could have just said, "I love you, I forgive you. Hey guys, see you later." But he didn't. He showed us what love was by giving himself up for us. And if that's an example of love, then we need to give of ourselves to others around us. Instead of repaying evil for evil, repay evil with love. To be there for other people, even if they're not going to be there for us. If they're not going to love us back, that's their loss, but we're going to love them and care for them, and seek to share this love of God with them. That's the kind of love that God shows us. True love is a lot harder than it looks. Wow, it is so much harder than it looks, and so much harder than it was what I thought it to be when I was just a young one, and I'm sure the same for you. Because we find out this love endures in the midst of trials and suffering. This love endures in the midst of pain and grief. This love endures in the midst of loss and heartache. This love endures because it comes from God. That's true love. And that's worth working for. That's worth the effort. It's worth knowing that it's a lot harder than it looks, but it's worth every moment of it. God's love is there for you. Turn the love to him by loving those around. In Jesus' name, amen.